Avi Mori. His yahrzeit is on Shabbos, Bo Bayom. So it's a big cover that my brother's coming. I invite all of you to come to our Tish, Oneg, whatever you want to call it, whatever makes you come more likely to come. To celebrate. Actually, my brother's going to be making a siyum as well on Sefer Torah. Hopefully, if he finishes. So you're all invited, Mitzvah Shem. So for those of you that are following in the Amud Shvui, I call a couple to Morty. This is a big one, and he finished on time, and we understood it. So this is even a bigger accomplishment. The major part of the Gemara spoke about whether you have to actually hear the words of Kriya Shema when you say it. And Rav Yossi basically, according to Maskat the Gemara, Rav Yossi says you must hear the words in order to be Yotei Kriya Shema. And Rav Yehuda, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, goes forth, but according to the Maskana, seems to say that we'd like you to hear yourself when you're saying Kriya Shema, but for the Eved, you're Yotei even if you don't hear it, provided that you mouth the words with svasa, with your lips. So there's a ton of different opinions as to how this applies to the idea of Hira Kedibor. And there's deos that in the Rishonim that say that this actually is not a machlokas about Hira Kedibor. Because if it was a machlokas about Hira Kedibor, you would think that the Mishnah would actually bring the idea of Shirhar as a much bigger chiddush than listening to what you're saying. What if your hair is contemplating the words that you're saying? So there's a shot-wide discussion whether by thinking about something is as if it's as if you said it. And does that suffice to be yotzei for whatever you're supposed to say? And in fact, I don't know if it's in a few weeks or in a month, I didn't do the math, but on Daf Chaf, the Gemara basically says that if you're a Baal Keri, if you're a Tameh, and you need to say a bracha, you should just think about the bracha and don't say the bracha, the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah. And the Gemara debates whether this is a proof that Hira is Kedibor or not Kedibor. Can you prove from this Mishnah that if you're Tameh and you're allowed to think about it, does that mean that by thinking about it, it's as if you said it? Or does it mean that by thinking about it, you really didn't say it, you're just getting a lower level mitzvah because you're tamei and you don't have a choice? So the Rishonim debate how to combine these two sugyos. How do you really understand if really there's a concept of thinking about things being as if said it, then why didn't our Mishnah and our Gemara talk about thinking about it? Why is the whole debate in our Gemara whether you need to hear the words that you're saying, but everybody agrees that you have to actually mouth the words? Why wouldn't you bring this opinion that's this tremendous chiddush that you can just think about it and you no longer have to say anything? That's as if you said it. So the Rosh actually says that our sugya has nothing to do with Hira Kedibor. Everybody agrees that Hira is not Kedibor, like Mori spoke during the Machir. And the question here is, you have to have Dibor. What is considered Dibor? Is Dibor actually hearing what you're saying, or is Dibor just saying it even if you don't hear it? And the Rosh brings a proof that it can't be that our Gemara is talking about Hira. Why? Because if you say that our sugya is the only way to explain that our sugya is a debate about contemplating is as if you said it, would be to say that our sugya is like Rav Chista, who in the sugya of Daf Chaf Amud Beis holds that Hira is La Kedibor. So you have to say that our sugya holds that thinking is not like speaking, and therefore you have a whole debate of whether you have to hear what you have to say, but everybody agrees you have to say it. But if that's true, then why didn't that Gemara on Daf Kafa Mabez bring our Mishnah as proof to Rav Chisda, who says you're allowed to dibur. So it must be according to the Rosh that this is not anywhere connected to Hira to dibur. That's a completely separate discussion. When it comes to Kriya Shema, for whatever reason, and we'll talk, maybe we'll mention it in a moment, when it comes to Kriya Shema, there is no concept of Hira to dibur. You need to say the word. The only question is you have to hear. So if you look at the Rambam in source 1, 2, 3, I got to put the thing that says number of the sources. If you look at the Rambam actually kind of gives us mixed messages, as he always does, because he likes to supply people with topics to say over in the Anshir. So the Rambam Hilchos Kriya Shema says, "Hakorei Kriya Shema lo yirmoz ve'ena lo yipat tisvasav v'im asa kein afa pishyasi lechavas harezim mezguna." And v'tzarech ashmiya la'ozno. This is the important part. He has to hear what he's actually saying. Kshehu korei v'im lo ishmiya la'ozno yasa. If he didn't hear what he said, as long as he said it, he's yosei. In contrast, in Hilchos Brach, next source, every bracha that you say, it's important to remember, every bracha that you say, you have to actually hear what you're saying. If you didn't hear what you were saying, then the Rambam adds a very shocking sentence, whether you actually mouthed the words or whether even you just thought about the words. So which one is it? By Kriya Shema, the Rambam seems to imply you have to hear the words, but as long as you said the words to the Eved and you didn't hear them, you're Yose. By Hilchos Brachos, he says, even if you just thought about it, the Eved, you're Yose. So is here a Kedibor or here a Lav Kedibor? Seems like a stira in the Rambam. So the Shagat Aryeh actually points out this stira. And the Shagat Aryeh, there are a couple of answers. The Shagat Aryeh has one answer, and he says that really the Rambam holds that hearer, thinking about something, is not like saying it. And you can't get away with just sitting in your chair and contemplating something in order to be yotze a mitzvah that would require normally speaking. However, that's only in a mitzvah that you need speaking. When it comes to Kriya Shema, what does it think in Kriya Shema? V'dibarta bam. There is an added chiyuv, there's an added requirement of speaking. So when it comes to a specific requirement of speaking, of dibur, that's when hearer is lav to dibur. So then contemplating, just thinking about it, doesn't suffice. But by brachos, there's no added requirement of dibur. And even though the Rambam is poskening that hearer is lav kedibur, that thinking is not as if you spoke, but who said you had to speak? You have to make a bracha, whatever that means. Making a bracha may be contemplating about the bracha, maybe thinking about the bracha. And it's not necessarily a requirement of speech itself. So therefore, that's the way the Shagat Aryeh explains the Rambam, how he can be consistent where there's a difference between Kriya Shema and regular brachos, because Kriya Shema has this added chiyuv of dibur. And the Shagat Aryeh goes makes an extra point and says, I'll prove it to you. How I'll prove it to you? Because in source number, five, Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says, and I'll just say it outside, you're not allowed to talk about things that are dibrei chol on Shabbos. He said, he gives it, for example, my yimkor lamachar, what am I going to sell? What stock am I going to sell tomorrow? Or my yikna, or real estate? Or hey, achivna, how am I going to do this construction on my house? Or ve'ezeschor, what product am I going to purchase now that I'm going to make a killing on? You're not supposed to talk about these things on Shabbos because it's dibrei chol. But what did he say at the end? At the end, shenemar v'daber davar, dibur asur, last two words in the source, kirhar mutter. You're allowed to think about it. If the Rambam held that here is kedibur, then you wouldn't be allowed to think about it either. So it must be, as Shabbos Ari points out, that the Rambam holds heroes love to Dibor, and that's why on Shabbos, when there's a specific Isser, because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, the Daber Davar, it's talking about talking Dibrechol, not thinking Dibrechol. So that's a proof that that requirement of Dibor, you're not going to violate just by contemplating Dibrechol. And that's how he proves that this distinction between Kriya Shema as a requirement of Dibor and the halacha of brachas in general. Skip the next part because it's just going to confuse you. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to be a bigger problem. Shulchan Aruch, the next source, says, Sarach yashmil oznov mashem si besfasov. When you say Berachos HaMazon, you have to listen to what you're saying as you're mouthing the words. Vim lo yashmil oznov yatsa ubilvad shiyot besfasov. You must mouth the words. Sounds like you must actually say what you're saying in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, not like the Rambam. And then by Hilchos Kriya Shema, the Rambam says, Tzarech lashmil ozno mashamosi b'fiv. You have to actually listen to what you're saying as it comes out of your mouth. Then lashmil ozno yotza, uvabayzor says the exact same thing, so it's consistent. However, the next it says, "Imachman choli o ones." If you're sick or if you have no choice, achar kara kriya shma belivo ones achar. If you're sick or if you have another ones, if you have another thing that's out of your control, kara kriya shma belivo yotzei. If you actually just contemplate the words of kriya shma, you're yotzei. How could that be? How could you say that kara is not kedibur, and everywhere else, even Birkas HaMazon, you have to actually mouth the words, but by somehow your yotzei, I understand your onus, but it doesn't say patur, it says yotzei. It says you're actually mekayim the mitzvah of Kishma just by thinking about it. It's completely inconsistent. So the Mishnah Berurah picks up on this. The Mishnah Berurah actually says, when the Shulchan Aruch says yotzei, he doesn't really mean yotzei. He means, he'll get credit somehow. I thought his Baruch will understand. He's on us. He'll be okay. But it's certainly not what the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying yotzei. I saw Pnei Yeshua that may be able to shed light on this, and this will close. The Pnei Yeshua takes everything on its head. And I thought it was amazing. The Pnei Yeshua says, You're not understanding the difference between Hira and Dibur. And this actually explains why the two sugyas, our sugya and Daf, actually can be reconciled. He says, it's not that Hira, it's not that contemplating is worse than Dibur. It's the opposite. It's that Hira, contemplating, is better than Dibur. Why? Then Yeshua says, when you're contemplating something, you have the best kavanah in the world. You have the most intention. You understand exactly what you're contemplating because you're contemplating. You're thinking about it. You're not just blindly saying words. You're actually thinking. And our Gemara is actually of the opinion, the opposite of what we said before, that Hira is Kedibur. That Hira does work. Not only is it like Dibur, it's even better than Dibur. And everyone would agree that since you're contemplating Shema, you're doing with full Kavana, it would be acceptable. The only debate is in our Mishnah, if you have Dibor without hearing yourself, is that enough? Because sometimes you can mouth words and not really mean what you're saying. You can just be saying things by rote. And is that really a requirement of Shema? Is that really a requirement, to suffice in the requirement of listening or understanding what you're saying? So if you contemplate, if you just thought about it to yourself, that's a much higher level. Dibor without hearing, the chila you shouldn't do, because you have to according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says you shouldn't do it even b'di'evit, because it's just saying words, it's empty words. You have to hear what you're saying in order to be able to make those words meaningful. And that's why Rav Chisda would never be able to have used our Mishnah as a proof to hear a lav kedibur, because it's exactly the opposite. It's for kedibur, and hear is even better than dibur. And maybe, and this is just my suggestion, I don't know if it's, and if you don't like it, just throw it away. But Maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch goes that far to say, if you're honest, obviously it's not ideal, but if you're honest, Hira can work. Maybe like Dibur, because there are some deos even that Hira is even better than Dibur.
It's not, or it is?
Okay.
Because you could still be married. You say, Hari is above the Gomor. I mean, you're here in Shuva Libo, you're still above the Gomor. I don't know.
Maybe a special requirement, but anyway, I thought the show was pretty amazing that actually flips everything on its head and says Hira is even higher level than Dibur. I just heard the name of Eric quickly, that why is it that that there's such a requirement that your ears should hear? You're speaking, well, if they have your ears hear. So Rav Huttner says in Pachad Yitzchak that the only sense that we have that doesn't also accept, also give. So in other words, our mouth can accept something and give out. Our eyes, when you talk to someone, they see something from your eyes, but also you receive sense from your eyes. The only organ that we have that just senses but doesn't give is the ears. And that's why the ears are so critical for Kabbalah, Ol Malchus Shamayim. Because in order to receive Ol Malchus Shamayim, you need to use the one organ that only receives and doesn't give. And that's why Eved, that wants to stay with his Rav, his ear gets pierced, because it could have pierced any part of his body. But because he was heard on Har Sinai that Hashem is Akash Baruch Hu is Melech Malchei Melechim, and he chose a different king, so he pierced his ear, because his ear is the receiving part of his body, the exclusively receiving part of his body, and that's why that's the organ that's specifically mentioned to appear in that situation.
Mm-hmm.